This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. In about half an hour, we're going to be speaking with longtime political commentator Dr. Bridget Welsh on the severed relationship between UMNO and Bersatu. But in the meantime, we are turning our attention to food, because food prices around the world have been rising for 9 months in a row. In fact, in February, they reached the highest levels since July of 2014, according to the UN Food Agriculture Organization's Price Index.
Food inflation does hit people particularly quite hard. So as the global economy is still reeling from the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. So I think in general, what has happened is that the food prices have risen partly due to weather conditions, and there was a huge major disruption in supply chains. And as a result, it had caused a number of shortages.
Yes, sir. So what exactly is causing the price increase this time, and how will it impact us here in Malaysia? Now, joining us to provide some insight into this today is Dr. Haniza Khalid. She's a development economist who specializes in food and land prices. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Dr. Haniza. Now, the UN's FAO reported that world food prices rose for a ninth consecutive month in February, hitting their highest levels since July of 2014. What's causing prices to rise?
There are a number of factors which emerged due to the COVID pandemic, but there are also structural factors that has kept food prices quite volatile since time immemorial. Amongst them will be, of course, the increase in raw material costs, especially oil prices. Now that oil prices have gone up again because of the OPEC production cuts. And then there's transport and packaging costs, you know, like cardboard and steel. There's also a lot of signs that demand are picking up, especially from China and from the Asian countries, due to the cheaper money credit to boost demand. So there's a lot of demand for food and also materials or non-processed food. But of course, the biggest culprit in most cases would be the geopolitical situations and also the climate change.
Do you have any idea how much worse it can get?
Well, climate change is, of course, is a threat that's becoming even bigger from day to day. We have already seen hurricanes in Central America. We've already seen droughts in many places. So this erratic weather is definitely a factor, climate change. And there's really not much agricultural producer, the micro units, can do to cope or alter despite the technology that we have. And also the geopolitical situation, like you have in Argentina, you have strikes, worker strikes. In India, of course, the current farmers strike. And you know, Myanmar. Okay. So there's a lot of uncertainty that could also affect the global chain more than it is already being affected by the COVID lockdowns and the slowdown in international trade.
Is this temporary, or should we expect to see any price uptick to persist?
Well, again, oil prices, climate change, and also the geopolitical stability or internal political stability, especially in the producing countries, are going to be there for some time. And we do hope that in the meantime, there will be some mitigating situations. For example, currency can be a better improvement in the supply chain, improvement in alternative markets or producers, for instance. So they could help in that sense. And maybe there's not much multilateral action that's being taken up, for example, for WTO now, because this is a very emergency kind of situation, right? So we have not seen much intervention from the multilateral to create the market or to open the market. Every country is dealing with these issues themselves. And this is the effect that we'll need to see for some time, how it will stabilize, whether it is COVID or it is non-COVID effect.
So how then does this translate into what we're seeing here in Malaysia?
Food CPI, it has been consistently positive, despite the general CPI displaying some reduction over the past few months, because that's mainly from the reduction in the price of transport costs, the RON 95, RON 97 and diesel prices. So when they go down, they bring the whole inflation CPI down. But food prices have been quite steady. So what does it mean? That food at home and food away from home still register positive prices. And then especially with onion prices from India, vegetable price, palm oil has gone up. So we see that there's still going to be substantial pressure on food prices for some time.
Now, many Malaysians straddle the poverty line or live below it. This certainly hasn't been helped by COVID-19. So how does the increase in food prices impact Malaysians differently based on their incomes or geography?
It hits poor households harder because their percentage of expenditure is higher. The amount of expenditure that on average a household in Selangor and Kelantan, for instance, is the same, although the income is so much different. The amount of expenditure for average family in Selangor is about 820, 830. And this is the same with Kelantan. But for Kelantan, the percentage of expenditure on food is about 25.6%. So this is because their income average is about 3,000 plus. But for the Selangor household, it will be 14.3%. But their income is about 6,000 plus. What I'm trying to draw your attention is that the percentage of expenditure on food is higher among where the income is lower, but the amount of money that you spend on food is 800 ringgit plus households. So they cannot reduce the expenditure because the price is like that.
And so how are Malaysians adjusting their food consumption patterns in response to these food price increases?
When prices go up, so the percentage of expenditure that you spend on food will be higher. Most households, especially in the lower income group, would apply a substitution strategy, right? Or a reduction. But this substitution strategy is either it will affect your nutrition or beyond substitution, you might even go to the extent of reducing the consumption, the calorie intakes, especially when you don't have any substitution options. So this is where malnutrition can come and rear its ugly head. But I would like to also show that food insecurity, it happens everywhere in the sense that it's not just that you can't buy because the price is high. You can't buy when the supply is not stable as well. So food security is beyond just the price factors. In COVID situation, we also have the supply issue to deal with. And we also have the income instability issue to deal with.
Within Malaysia, though, there are still some price controls on several food items. Will this help limit the effects of rising food prices?
Price controls in Malaysia are normally invoked during for the festive season. So it's not a year-round exercise. And we also have the price control and profiteering mechanism. Yeah? But it does not really put that cap on year-round. So when we have this kind of shocks that it's not seasonal and it could come from a number of factors, it's quite, in terms of enforcement and also implementation, it's not as systematic as the ones that we have under a seasonal structure, like the festive season price control scheme. Yeah? That is more systematic and easier to implement.
Finally, what are some possible interventions or solutions that can be introduced to mitigate the effects of rising food prices?
Well, food is always plagued with these structural issues. And now we have even more uncertainty, even more challenging madness because of the climate change and the political situation or socioeconomic situation plus the COVID. But the prescribed solutions have always been in strengthening the income of the people, even if the income is not high, but at least it must be stable. The more macro thing is that how are we strengthening our food systems? So food system is not just production, not just about what's our self-sufficiency ratio, 90%, 20%? It's not that. You may have a lot of production, but if you export or your system of retail, wholesale is not efficient, you lose a lot of money. We need middlemen for sure, but the whole process has to run through optimal so that it can be transparent, it can be clear, and most importantly, it can be stable. Stability of price is equally important as affordability of price. So maybe COVID has opened our eyes. We do need a review. We do need a relook. So how can these new supply chains or innovative production, innovation be brought into the agricultural sector, be brought into the food sector in Malaysia, for instance?
Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning, Dr. Haniza. That was economist Dr. Haniza Khalid speaking to us about the rising food prices that we're seeing around the world and its potential impact on Malaysia. And she made the point that food insecurity does happen everywhere. It's not just because of prices, but it definitely has been. It's one of those things that has definitely been exacerbated by COVID-19 because we saw supply chain issues for many companies, income instability is also an issue that people have to deal with now when they've lost their jobs or had salary deferments as a result of the pandemic.
As a result of if food prices get out of hand, the increases get out of hand, you may have a situation where, of course, the rich and the middle class, they may do some switching to, you know, cheaper brands. But, you know, for the B40 group, it may be a question of, you know, some children going hungry, right? And globally, will we see another Arab Spring as a result of inflation hitting record high in some countries like Lebanon?
Yes, so this is something definitely to keep an eye on. But right now, we're about to head into the 7:30 news bulletin. And up next, taking a look at the fact that China is tightening its grip on Hong Kong by introducing electoral reforms. So keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.